The upper room was prepared. The table was set. All arrangements were made. Jesus and his closest disciples entered the upper room to commemorate the Passover meal. But there's something different about this year. There's a different tone in the air. Instead of talks concerning the first Passover, Jesus talks of plots of betrayal, suffering, new covenants, and even death. Jesus shares with them that he would be going away for a time. All of this was unsettling. All of this was very strange and very confusing. Perhaps the most disturbing things that Jesus shared with his disciples that night could be found in Matthew 26, verses 30 through 35. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go ahead to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly, I say to you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples said the same thing too. We know what happens next. Jesus was betrayed in the garden that very night. He was arrested and taken away. He was tried. And each and every one of his beloved disciples abandoned him just like he said they would. They even denied him. Some denied even having known him, including the one who so confidently and so boldly said, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." Jesus would be beaten, mocked, hung on a cross to die a most horrific death. To those who loved him most, those who have spent the last 3 years by his side, all hope seemed to be lost. The beloved teacher was gone. Little did they know, Jesus tried to prepare them for this very moment of utter hopelessness. But none of them would recall the things in which he tried to teach them time and time again. But here they stand, lost, without hope, exactly the way Jesus said they would be. On the third day, Jesus would rise again. He would appear to them on the road to Emmaus. He would appear to them in the upper room and in Galilee, where he told them he would meet them. In Galilee, where he told them that they would meet, when the disciples were out fishing and they realized it was Jesus who was speaking to them from the shoreline, Peter put on his outer garment and leaped into the water because he couldn't wait for the boat to get to shore. Just the sight of Jesus, the comfort of his voice, hope had been restored. They knew that all would be okay from that moment forward. Peter leaping into the water that day is almost symbolic and should be symbolic for us, that we need to be all in for Jesus. From that moment forward, we see the day of Pentecost come and go, and his beloved disciples are now all in for Jesus. We see their faith and their hope increase and grow and become more affirmed each and every day. You see, we can put our hope in many things, and oftentimes we do, and everything will disappoint us, except our hope in Jesus Christ. And Romans 5:5 tells us that. Peter, the one who said he would not deny Jesus and did because he had lost all hope, but that day leaped into the water when hope was restored, wrote some profound things concerning hope in 1 Peter 1, 3-5. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." We not only have a hope in Jesus Christ, but we have a living hope in him. Romans 15:13 tells us, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." The cross is a symbol of our hope. The empty tomb is a symbol of our hope. The emblems which are set before us and we are about to share in are symbols of our living hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And it's through our hope that we might abound in joy, peace, and believing by the power of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, in Titus 3, 4 through 8, tells us, "But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing, regeneration, and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured upon us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." This is a trustworthy statement concerning these things. I want you to speak confidently so that those who believe in God will be careful to engage in good deeds. God showed his kindness to us in the form of Jesus Christ coming to this earth. And he saved us not on the basis of deeds that we could do in righteousness, but the deeds done through Jesus Christ on that cross, that we might be saved, that we could have hope. Our Father and God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, so much for this day in which you have blessed us with. We thank you so much for the time, Lord, which we could meet around your Son's table, Lord, and partake of the bread which represents his body, Lord, and the juice which represents his blood. That he came to this earth, Lord, and died for each and every one of us, for not because we deserve it or not because we are good people, Lord, but because we were unworthy and that we were in need of a Savior, Lord. And we thank you, God, so much for your love that did all these things for us, Lord. And we thank you, God, so much for the hope that we can have through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that everything that you tell us and have done for us is true. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.